Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Lady Esther Screen Guild play tonight, Over 21. The starring players...
This is Irene Dunn.
This is Alec Knox.
And this is Raymond Walburn.
Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in Columbia Pictures' delightful comedy, Over 21. It stars Irene Dunn as Polly, Alexander Knox as Max, and Raymond Walburn as Robert Gull. The Lady Esther Screen Guild Players in Over 21. The early impetuous days of the war, and all over America, men are enlisting. Max Wharton, however, is different from most. Max is editor of the very liberal New York Bulletin. He's famous, he's successful, and he's crowding 40. But still, he goes in as an ordinary private, which evokes a good deal of varied comment. From his best friend and critic, Mr. Average Reader...
Publicity, it's a gag, that's all.
From his publisher, Mr. Robert Gull...
Schoolboy stuff! Medals for Benny. I say his job is right here, running his paper.
And from his wife, Paula Wharton, in Hollywood.
Isn't it wonderful of Max? Why, you hardly ever hear of an editor getting to be only a private. And think he didn't use any pull, either.
To Max, of course, it's a serious move, and one that's not without its hazards. Speaking to his wife on the long-distance telephone.
Of course, a lot of people will think I'm grandstanding. You know why I'm doing it, Polly.
Well, of course I do, Max. Oh, what did Gal say?
He's having kittens. I warned him that when I leave, though, I leave. No inter-office communications, no wires, no phone calls, nothing.
Well, naturally. You're going to be a soldier.
Oh, I'm going to try. Of course, I'm no spring chicken, darling. You know, over 21, a man slows down.
Oh, silly. When did you get to be an editor?
When I was 35, but...
Well, that's what I mean. When do you leave?
This afternoon. Basic training. Then maybe officer's candidate school. If I can make it.
What do you mean? Sure you'll make it. And I'll be right there with you.
You... What?
You heard me, sweetheart. When you make that officer candidate school, you just wire me where and when.
Polly,
after all, I'm not planning a novel this year.
You...
And I'm almost through with this picture script. Oh, say, Nixon says it's swell.
Well, that's good, but you...
Oh, I miss you like the dickens, darling, and I married you for better or worse.
But
and,
now, listen,
and
Polly.
Besides, how do you think I want to spend the war? Sitting around Hollywood on my swivel chair?
Which explains the presence of a famous woman writer at the Tetley Field, Miami Officer Candidate School. Well, not really at the school. At Palmetto Court, Bungalow 26D. Say, Polly, that Bungalow 26D, wasn't that pretty rugged stuff?
Oh, not too bad, Mr. Bradley. Pretty crowded, of course, and sometimes noisy.
Radios and things?
Yes. Mrs. Clark like Gabriel Heater, and Mrs. Greenberg like Swing, and all the others...
What did they like?
Children. But it was fun. Yes, once I found out where everything was, like the switch for the living room lights, that was out on the porch.
Mm.
And then the kitchen faucet...
On the porch?
Oh, silly. Who ever heard of a kitchen faucet on the porch?
Oh, then the kitchen faucet was in the kitchen.
No, in the bathroom. But the worst thing was the front door. The only way you could open it from the outside was to stamp on the porch. Oh, it was horrible. Awful.
What?
The time I met Colonel Foley. It was my first night there, you see, and Max was in camp. I was in my negligee, all ready for bed, when I remembered that I hadn't turned off the living room lights. So I stepped out on the porch, and bam, the door slammed shut. And try as I would, I couldn't get it open. I tugged and yanked and cussed and prayed, and then...
Jimmy, do you see what I see?
Mother, there's a fairy in my garden. Hiya, kid, how's...
So what's the meaning of this noise?
Holy smoke.
Hey, let's get out of here.
The young lady, what's coming off here?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And you just quit staring like that.
Yeah, but I was just asking
you. Now, you stop it, you hear? Go away. Go on, go away. He's only trying to open my door.
Madam, your door is open.
Well, just the same, Well, lovely art, isn't it? Good night. But don't get me wrong. I love the place. The neighbors were really wonderful. All army wives, of course. And at least I got to see Max. Yes, I got to see him. I wasn't so sure he ever saw me, though. Max was so worried and working so hard.
White phosphorus is used as a standard filling in the 75 millimeter, the 105 millimeter, the 100... White phosphorus, 75 millimeter, the 105...
Max!
Oh, I'm sorry, Polly. I'm having an awful time with this poison gas. Subject 12B is just one of 33 you have to know cold. No time to learn them.
Oh, 33 subjects? That sounds like a short history of the world.
And all the cleaning, scrubbing, polishing, drilling, that goes right on. Boy, this was a day.
Yeah, pretty bad.
At the crack of dawn inspection. Spot in my shirt, I didn't even see it. 5 demerits. Then we had a quiz. You have to get 78 to pass.
What'd you get?
78.
Oh.
Regimental review this afternoon. I stood at detention for an hour. I saw the neck of the fella ahead of me turn brick red in the sun. Then it started to go white. His neck, I mean. Bam, he falls flat in his face. Along comes the meat wagon.
Meat
picks him
wagon?
Up. The ambulance.
Oh, what a thing to call it. Darling, you can forget it for just this hour. Come on now, put your head in my lap. I'll rub your forehead.
Mm. Polly, I almost forgot what you were like.
Now, don't talk. Relax.
Polly.
Yes, dear.
I wouldn't have done it if I hadn't thought it was right.
Done what, Max?
Left the paper.
Oh.
But I kept thinking about after the war. When we come to talking about reorganizing the world and what kind of peace we want and how to make it stick. If I've been in it like this, I can say what I want. Not for personal glory, for the paper. To give it some authority.
Max, we promised ourselves not to talk about the paper.
That's right.
Not even read it. Not even have it in the place.
I'm sorry, baby. I better get back. You know, a lot of demerits for being late. Still, if Gao starts yelling
Max,
for me...
Max. Who in the world is Gao?
Robert Gao? I never heard of him.
No. We'll never even mention his name again.
And if he ever shows up, I'll shoot him like a dog.
Hello?
Long distance calling. One moment, please. Miami ready. Go ahead.
Hello?
Hello, is that you, Polly? This is Robert Gao.
Who?
You heard me, Robert Drexel Gao. Will you put Max on?
Well, I'm sorry. I don't think I can, Mr. Nixon.
Nixon? Nixon, are you deaf? Well, I told you this is Robert Gao. I've got to talk to Max.
Well, thanks, but I'm afraid it's quite impossible right now. Maybe later, Mr. Nixon.
Will you stop calling me Mr. Nixon?
No, I simply can't. No. Goodbye. Well, can you imagine that, Max? Joel Nixon, Hollywood.
What do you want?
Oh, he's got a story he wants me to work on. You heard what I told him. I'm too busy becoming a lieutenant.
Well, I hope one of us makes it.
Oh, you will, Max. You've got to. And I'll do my share. I'll wash and dust and scrub and cook.
You'll cook?
Cook. You'll graduate a lieutenant if I have to kill you.
But, Mrs. Fortin, it's so easy. I don't see why you're so worried about a little dinner.
Well, I'm not so worried about myself. I'm more worried about Max. It's his first dinner at home, you see, and I promised I'd cook.
Oh, well, I guess when you're writing all them books, you get cold on your cooking, more or less.
Yeah, I'm practically frigid, more or less.
Well, maybe I can help you out this afternoon. I could make some biscuits.
You could... Swell.
A pot of stew.
Bran.
And if I have the time, an apple pie. Think that'll do?
Will it do, Mrs. Clark? You've just saved my life, more or less.
Mrs. Wharton, this is pie.
Is it? I haven't even tasted it yet. Say, it is good, isn't it?
Polly, when did you learn to bake a pie like this? Not since I've known you.
Oh, shucks. Way back when I was a little girl at my mother's knee. You never forget those things once you learn.
How'd you go about it?
What, do you mean?
I've always wondered.
Oh, you mean...
Yeah, making a pie.
Oh, now, Max, I don't want to bore you.
Oh, you won't. I always wanted to know. Intellectual curiosity.
Oh.
Now, what do you do first?
Well, first, since it's an apple pie, well, naturally, first you take your apples.
Uh-huh.
And, well, you just cut them up into ever so many little pieces, and then, well, then you have your apples.
Uh-huh. How about the crust? My mother says that's the real test of a pie. The crust.
Your mother never spoke a truer word, Max. Yes, a nice flaky crust is at the bottom of the whole thing. Oh. Joke. Crust. Crust at the bottom.
That's very funny. No fooling. How do you make the crust?
Oh, well, now, that's very interesting. First, you take a little pot, not very big, about so high, or, well, it could be a little higher.
What's the size of the pot got to do with it?
That's an ignorant question.
All right, all right, all right, all right. So you got your pot.
Very well. So you set your pot, we'll say, right here. Now you put the things into it, and you just mix, and you keep mixing until you're sure it'll turn out nice and flaky, and then you roll it out, and then into the pan it goes, and then in go your apples, and then more crust on top, and then into the oven with the whole thing, and, well, before you know it, you're eating apple pie.
Yeah, but... What about those things you mixed in the
pot?
Oh,
yes, I thought you'd ask that. Well, no two women ever mix exactly the same things. That's every woman's secret. You wouldn't expect me to tell mine.
Well, no,
well,
I
should
expect
think
you.
Now, how'd you get along in camp today?
We were talking about apple pie.
Oh, that's so dull, Max, really. Now, how are you getting along?
I'm still getting my regular 78s, never more, never less. You know, I'd almost rather flunk out.
Oh, don't say that,
I can just see the headlines. Max Wharton, bright young editor of the Bulletin, heaved out of the army on his what's an incompetent moron. That'll be just fine for the Bulletin.
Oh, Max, stop seeing headlines and stop worrying about the Bulletin. Now, come on, you've got an hour off. Relax.
That's right. Polly.
Yes?
A fella stopped me today. He's on the camp paper. He wanted to run a piece about me. He said I could write it myself. I turned him down.
Well, that's fine. I better start on these dishes.
You don't think I'm passing up a chance? I mean, if I write about myself, I write about what I believe in. I've got plenty to say.
Well, if you feel like doing it, dear, I think it's wonderful.
It'll just take me half an hour, you know. Just half an hour.
Well, swell. My portable's right here.
Yeah, no, wait, wait. Now, I write this blast for the camp paper, and some smart guy, just one smart guy, picks on a word or a phrase... He writes an answer. I've got a reply. He answers my reply. I've got a... No, isn't that just what I swore I wouldn't do? Haven't I got trouble enough with my studies? No,
oh,
that's
darling,
out. That's
I'm
out.
Not sure, but I think this was your idea.
Well, it was no good.
Well, it's just as you say. Now for those dishes.
That's up to me, though, isn't it?
What?
Well, whether I get dragged into a controversy or not. Suppose I write it and forget it. Absolutely forget it.
Well, if you can, darling, that's...
Well, sure I can. Why can't I? Where's the typewriter?
Right here. And there's some paper in the drawer. And come in. Oh, Mrs. Clark.
Sorry to bother you, Mrs. Wharton, but could I have the tin I brought the pie in?
Yes, of course, Mrs. Clark. Thank you so much.
Oh, don't mention it. You're very welcome, I'm sure.
Oh, Max,
Polly, darling. Speaking of crust.
Yeah. I sure bake a heck of an apple pie, doesn't she?
The second act of the Lady Esther Screen Guild play will follow in just a moment. Now, a word from Lady Esther.
Tonight, I'd like you to join me in a little experiment. Are you ready? Well, first, close your eyes. Are they closed? Now, run your fingertips over the inside of your arm. Feel how soft the skin is, how silky. Now feel your forehead, your chin, your cheeks. Feel the difference? Yes, you feel the dryness, the little bumps. Now, I want you to make me prove that Lady Esther Face Cream can make the skin of your face as soft and baby smooth as the skin of your inner arm. Remember, I said prove, and not in 30 days or even 30 minutes. All I ask is 30 seconds for my convincing patch test, which will show you the glamorous difference Lady Esther Face Cream makes in your appearance. Sorry. To make this interesting patch test, just smooth a little Lady Esther four-purpose face cream on one patch of skin, like one cheek. Wipe it off. Then compare that cheek with the other. See the difference, the clear, fresh look of that patch of skin. Then, most convincing of all, feel the difference with your fingertips from just one application of Lady Esther face cream. You see, this one cream by itself thoroughly cleans your skin, softens your skin, helps nature refine the pores, and it leaves a smooth base on which face powder looks simply marvelous. I'm sure you want this proof. Proof you can see on your own skin, in your own mirror. Decide now to let the patch test show you the instant beautifying effect of Lady Esther four-purpose face cream.
And now the second act of Over 21, starring Alexander Knox, Irene Dunne, and Raymond Walburn. Well, Max continues grubbing, and Polly continues scrubbing. And things seem pretty well under control, only they haven't figured on Colonel Foley. Or, to be exact, on the Colonel's lady.
I'm just overcome. I'm simply overcome. To think I'd meet a famous writer like Paula Wharton right here in the commissary at the cheese counter. And you know, my mother is crazy about your books, too. You've got to let me bring her over. You've just simply got to.
Which is a prospect harrowing enough, but a whole lot worse when guess who walks in?
Robert Gow.
No, not Gow. Nixon. Joel Nixon.
You bullhead. What are you doing down here?
Well, you gave me all that double talk on the phone, and then you wouldn't answer my other calls. Where's Max?
He may not get here for days. Robert, I warn you, you leave Max alone.
The way he left me? With a $2 million investment that's going to seed? Here, here's yesterday's paper. Take a look at the tripe that Kennedy's turning out.
The bulletin isn't allowed in this house.
Oh, that's just what I thought, and it's high time that it was. Now, if I can get a few editorials from Max...
Listen, Robert... Max is down here competing with 20-year-olds. He's 39. He's hanging on by his eyebrows. 1 second for an outside interest and he's sunk.
Well, there's only one intelligent thing I can do.
What?
I've got a darn good offer for the paper.
You wouldn't sell it.
Why not? I'm sentimental too, but not stupid. I gambled $2 million on the brains and the courage of a man named Max Wharton. If I can't have
Max
his help...
Max will die if he ever dreams
Polly.
That you... Oh, there he
Polly.
Is. Oh, my gosh. Get rid of that bulletin, Robert.
How?
Well, stuff it under the sofa cushions or someplace. And Robert, not a word about anything. There's still a chance if you keep your mouth shut.
Polly, guess what I just...
Oh.
Darling.
Hello, Max.
Yes, look who dropped in. That Gow, dear. Look at him. Look how happy he is. Not a care in the world.
What's he want? What's he doing down here?
Oh, he just came down to look over some property.
Some property named Max?
My dear boy!
What's in that briefcase?
Darling, you know there's never anything in his briefcase, but he's Robert Drexel Gow. People expect him to carry one. Sweetheart, honestly, he just dropped in to say hello.
Oh. Hello.
Well, he said hello right at me.
Polly, I've got terrific news. Guess who's coming to call? The Foleys.
The Foleys?
In person, the Foleys.
Somebody tell me what the dickens are Foleys.
He's commanding officer of the whole field, that's all. Colonel Foley.
Oh, I never heard of him.
All of a sudden they say, Colonel Foley wants to see you. So I go up there and he says very cordially, why, come in, Wharton, how are you getting along? He says, I say, oh, fine, sir. He says, Mrs. Foley is a great admirer of you and your wife. I don't remember whether he included me or not. Anyway, he says, we thought we might drop round and pay you a call. Now, what do you think of that?
Why, that's the greatest thing since Spearman.
Shut up, Robert.
You don't understand the Army. All you know is the newspaper business.
Well, and speaking of newspaper business...
Which nobody was.
Kennedy sends his regards, Max.
Darling, Kennedy's doing beautifully.
Well, I knew he would if he had a chance. Robert, you never liked him, that's all.
And I still don't eat too loud.
Don't eat with him. That's them, Polly. They're here.
Dear, how do I look? My hair, my nose. Now, Robert, you behave yourself.
Hey, what is this, a night of the opera?
Come in. Why, Colonel Foley, how do you do, sir?
How are you, Wharton?
Colonel Foley, this is my wife.
Well, I'm very pleased to... Funny, somehow I seem to...
Yes, I'm sure we...
Oh.
Yes, of course.
Polly. Polly, I didn't know you two.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Darling, you never told me.
Oh, well, a man has to have some secrets, dear.
I am Robert Drexel Gow.
Oh, yes, I am sorry. This is our friend, Mr. Gow.
Oh, the famous publisher? Well, it's an honor, sir.
Henry, don't forget us.
Oh, yes. May I present my family?
Oh, delighted, Colonel. And this is Mrs. Foley, of course.
I'm Mrs. Foley. That's my mother.
Really? Why, you look just like sister.
Oh!
Sit down, please, everybody. Mrs. Foley, sit right here.
Thank you. Mrs. Wharton, it's so exciting to talk to you. You live a lot in Hollywood, don't you?
Well, if you call that living.
Oh, tell me, what's that Charles Boyer really like?
Oh, he's terribly nice.
Honestly? Oh, I'm so glad to hear that.
Why, did you hear something different?
Oh, heavens no. But I like him so much. I just want to be sure I'm not wasting my time on the wrong man.
That's my mother. Oh, Mrs. Wharton, it must be so exciting to work in Hollywood. It'd be so important.
Polly certainly is important. Her producer tried to phone her 3 times last
week. Oh, I beg your pardon.
Robert, you'd better fix some drinks.
Me?
Yes, Robert, you get some ice cubes.
I presume the refrigerator's in the kitchen.
No, in the bedroom. And Robert, some water.
In the bedroom?
No, the kitchen water's in the bathroom.
Oh, yeah. Well, excuse me, folks. I've got to powder my ice cube.
Well, I say, that's good. Very good.
Oh, well, thank you, Colonel. Thank you. I'm glad you liked it. Yeah. Just stick around. I'll be back with more.
Sitting here like that, being insulting. Robert, you were doing it on purpose, just to get Max in trouble with the Colonel. Max, why didn't you stop him?
I've got troubles enough without him. Polly, do you know what the Colonel told me?
No, what?
You know that piece I wrote for the camp paper? Washington's asked for it.
Washington?
It was pretty strong, too.
Oh. Now,
gosh, if anything happens to me now, only 5 weeks to graduation.
I'm sure it will.
It won't.
And I've got a quiz tomorrow morning. I can't even concentrate.
Oh, well, you will when you get back to camp.
I should have been back 10 minutes ago. I'm late right now.
Well, get going, soldier.
I am. Polly, where did you ever meet Colonel Foley?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, Max. He caught me with my negligee one night.
What?
Go on, Max. You're late. Now then, Robert.
Now, don't you now then me. He's up to his neck in work. But he can write a piece for the one-horse camp paper.
That only took a half hour of his time. It was something special.
Well, I think the bulletin's something special. Either I get what I want, or I go to Max and tell him that I'm going to sell the paper.
All right. Go ahead, spill it. What do you want?
A weekly editorial from Max. Well, do I get it?
Robert, if you promise to go home, stay away from Max, somehow or other, I'll see that you get it.
Polly! Hey, Angel!
Oh, gosh.
Darling, I got 15 minutes off, and I thought I'd run... Say, you working?
Well, I didn't mean to tell you, Max. I thought you'd worry. Nixon kept calling me from Hollywood. He had a story he couldn't lick, and he's been so darn nice to me, I thought...
Well, sure, Polly. I understand. Anyway, it ought to keep you out of trouble.
Yeah, I hope.
Polly, where are you? I've got the greatest news. Oh.
Hello, Max.
What are you doing down here again?
What am I doing? Didn't you get my telegram?
What telegram?
Well, about last week's editorials. I've got a great idea
for
you.
What the devil are you talking about?
Say, has all this drilling gone to your head?
Look here, if you don't start
Max,
making sense...
darling, you're home. I was out shopping for... Oh.
And the same to you, my dear.
Oh, Max, dear, I've got something to tell you.
I got something to tell you, too. Listen, final marks were just posted. I passed.
You passed?
Look here, you can't do this to me.
Oh, he's done it. Max, another 78.
I should say not. 79.
Oh.
Now, wait a minute. I came down here to...
And Polly, I got word from Washington.
Oh, that piece you wrote?
They like it. They want me to do one every week.
Oh, Max!
He can't. He's under contract to me. Why those things he's written the last 4 weeks have been like a transfusion. The first signs of life since...
Those last 4 weeks, I haven't written a line.
You haven't? But... Now, wait a minute. Polly, it was you.
Oh, Robert, I cannot tell a lie. I did it with my little portable.
You can't do this to me. I'll sue you. I'll hail you into court.
Robert, for a millionaire, you're acting awful dumb.
Huh?
Didn't you say those editorials were good?
Good? They were great, but
then grab her, you chowderhead. Make her an offer before I wire every paper in New York.
Good heavens, I hadn't thought of that. Polly, my dear Mrs. Maxwell.
Forget it, Robert. I'm going to stay with Max till he's shipped out.
But, darling, there's a home front job to do, and you were born to do this
one. No.
Polly. Polly, you little fool. Why, this answer came straight from heaven.
Policeman, these men are following
me. But, Angel, now look.
No soap, Max. I'm going to stick with you. At least until I've had a chance to think the whole thing over, alone.
Alone, Polly?
Yes. I want to be alone.
Excuse me, but is this bungalow 26D?
Why, yes, it is.
Well, I'm supposed to move in here today. I mean, as soon as a Lieutenant Wharton can... Well, I don't mean to rush you, but...
Oh, well, not at all. Max, you're being shipped?
Right away. What a break.
Oh, but darling, so fast, I thought...
Well, excuse me, but I was hoping. I mean, if there's anything about the place that I ought to know...
Oh, yes, of course. Well, it's very nice. You'll love it. Just a few little things. The living room lights, they turn off on the porch. And the kitchen water, that's in the bathroom. And, this door...
Door?
If it ever gets stuck when you're outside, you just stamp on the porch like this. That'll open it every time. Just stamp real hard.
Ooh. Polly! Polly, are you all right? Polly, what are you doing down there?
I'm thinking it over alone.
Polly, are you all right?
Oh, don't stand there talking. Put my trunks on the next train for New York.
Thank you, Alexander Knox, Raymond Walburn, and Irene Dunn for a delightful half hour.
It was a pleasure to be here, Mr. Bradley. We know that the Motion Picture Relief Fund and its country house, so vital to all of us in the industry, are supported largely by these radio programs, and we're all proud to help the good work. And now, before we tell you about next week's show, here's a word from one of America's best-known beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Dunn. Ladies, when you buy a face powder, you naturally expect it to be flattering. That's what you use powder for, to flatter you, to make your skin look smoother and lovelier. But Lady Esther Bridal Pink Face Powder goes a step further. Lady Esther Bridal Pink is not just flattering, it's intensely flattering, and to almost every skin it touches. Here, for the first time, is a shade that takes guesswork out of choosing your face powder. It doesn't matter whether your hair is blonde, brown, auburn, or black. Whatever your natural coloring, you'll find that Lady Esther Bridal Pink does surprising, delightful things for your entire appearance. It seems to change the very tone of your skin, gives it life and radiance. It lends sparkle to your eyes. Some women have told me it even makes their features look smaller. Lady Esther Face Powder spreads in a fine, clinging film, completely hiding tiny lines and blemishes. It stays on hour after hour, always fresh and lovely as though just applied. For a really exciting experience, try this. First, apply Lady Esther face cream. Wipe it off. Then dip your puff in Lady Esther Bridal Pink face powder and pat it gently all over your face. You'll love the way you look. You'll feel young and gay and ready for romance. Remember, Lady Esther four-purpose face cream, Lady Esther Bridal Pink face powder.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Wuthering Heights. It will star Merle Oberon, Reed Hadley, and Cornell Wilde. Be sure to listen. Irene Dunn will next be seen in the 20th Century Fox picture, Anna and the King of Siam. Raymond Walburn will soon be seen in the Preston Sturgis production, The Sin of Harold Diddlebuck. Alexander Knox appeared through the courtesy of Columbia Pictures. Over 21 was presented through the courtesy of the Columbia Pictures Corporation. Music on tonight's program was arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. This is Truman Bradley speaking for Lady Esther. Thank you and good night. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.